Turn to Proverbs 8:33. Proverbs 8:33. Wisdom says, "Hear instruction and be wise, and refuse it not." So let's look at the first part there. Hear instruction. So wisdom commands us to hear instruction. To hear means to perceive, to have the sensation of sound, to possess or exercise the faculty of audition, of which the specific organ is the ear. It's to exercise the auditory function intentionally to give ear, hearken, listen, to listen to a person or thing with more or less attention or understanding, to give ear to, hearken to give audience to. So it goes back to the same similar word as to hearken that we defined, that I defined in the previous verse. So to hear, when wisdom is speaking of it, is to hear intentionally, to give the attention to and actually listen and comprehend what you're hearing. She says here, instruction. Instruction is the action of instructing or teaching, the imparting of knowledge or skill, education, information. So in other words, wisdom is telling us to listen to teaching to get an education. You think, I don't need no education. I graduated from school 50 years ago, right? I'm already done. I've been done with my education a long time ago. But that's not the case. None of us are done with our education. We shouldn't be anyway. We should always be learning. Of course, this applies to children in school, right, to hear instruction. It's necessary for them to do it. It also applies to adults who have finished their formal education. It's been wisely said, I don't know who said it, but they said, or that he said, she said, somebody said, that once your schooling is complete, your education can begin. And that has certainly been true in my life. I have learned nearly everything important that I know after my formal education. I'm sure I learned some things in school, in grade school, in high school, and in college I learned a lot of technical things, and engineering I learned all kinds of stuff. But, you know, that stuff really doesn't benefit my life much. It benefited me professionally, and that was fine. But as far as the quality of my life, that didn't really benefit me all that much. Except, of course, an income, which is nice to have. I mean, of course, that's nice. But the things that are important in life, I learned after I got out of school. Things like Bible doctrine, or history, economics, philosophy, finance, political theory. Like all those things that I'm interested in, I learned pretty much everything I know after I get out of school. I don't remember learning any of those things while I was in school at all. It's all been through self-study, a lot of listening to sermons, reading books, lectures, articles, podcasts, all that kind of stuff. Like, I'm always continuing to learn. Like, I'm never, Lord willing, I never want to stop learning, because there's so much out there to learn. Just even if it was just this book, of course, you could spend the rest of your life learning. You'd never get to the bottom of it. So if you think that learning is over after you graduate from high school or even college, a person that thinks that's a fool. Because there's a lot to learn after you graduate from high school. Most kids, unfortunately, don't appreciate what they learned in high school, however little it may have been. Whatever they learned, they don't appreciate it. I certainly didn't. You know, there's lots of things that I'm sure I wish I would have paid attention, and I wish I would have tried to learn, but I didn't care. Every book that I was ever assigned to read when I was in high school, I would get the Cliff Notes version. I'd be as lazy as possible. I'd write some stupid little synopsis of it. I didn't have a clue what the book was about because I was lazy and I was an idiot. And I wish I would have spent my high school years reading good quality books and learning things instead of doing all kinds of other horrible things that I regret now. But anyway, that's the problem with most kids. Most kids are fools, right? You don't have enough sense to realize you should be spending those early formative years on something productive and that will help you out for the rest of your life. But anyway, getting back to this hearing instruction, this would apply and especially apply to Christians in church who should hear the teaching of the Word of God and thereby be educated in the doctrine of God. So if you have no interest in being educated in anything else, every Christian ought to at least want to be educated in this book. Maybe you don't have any interest in all the other interesting things out there in life. Okay, that's fine. But at least here, your education should never stop in the Scripture. Every time you come to church, It's like going to school. In our church, anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, in the churches of like faith. It's like going to school, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's the way it should be. We should be learning. You know, once in a while you come there and you get a good pep talk and, you know, get some encouraging and it makes you feel good. And that's good, too. But there's still learning involved there. But, you know, by and large, every sermon shouldn't be just telling you how wonderful heaven's going to be or something. You know, it should be learning. I mean, there's all kinds of things to learn about God and learn about how we ought to live in this life. So every time we go to church, just think about it as going to school. Think about it as being able to go back to school and learn things that you wished you would have learned when you were young and didn't, if you were like me anyway. So the book of Proverbs exhorts us repeatedly to hear instruction. I'll just give you a couple of verses. Proverbs 1 and verse 8. It says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. So hear the instruction. That's written to children. They need to pay attention to instruction. If they do, it'll save them a lot of trouble later on in life. Proverbs 4 and verse 1. Hear ye children the instruction of a father and attend to no understanding. So you got to attend. It means you got to put effort into it. I mean, attend in the sense of showing up and being there. Of course, you got to attend, but then you also have to attend to it. Like, you really got to put your effort into it. We must hear in order to receive instruction. And this, Jeremiah 32, 33, links these two things together, hearing and receiving. Jeremiah 32 and verse 33. It says, and they have turned unto me the back and not the face, though I taught them, rising up early and teaching them, yet they have not hearkened to receive instruction. This is God speaking. God can teach, and he's the best teacher out there, right? He can teach, but if they won't hear, they won't receive the instruction. You know, the teacher or the preacher can get up there and he can teach all day long, but if somebody won't hear and won't listen, it's just, you know, falling on deaf ears. It's not going to help. So it takes two. It takes the preacher to do the teaching, and then it takes the person to be able to receive that. We must also apply our ears and hearts to hearing instruction if we expect to understand and remember it. Proverbs 23 and verse 12. This is why it's important to review. Because a lot of times it's you don't remember something that if you only ever hear it once, like, you know, when we're memorizing scripture, you ever, like, maybe the first day and you memorize the first verse and you got it pretty, you said it over 20 times or something and you got it pretty good, and then you go back the second day and you're like, oh, what does that say? You can't remember it. And then after you do it the second day, and then you get the second verse the second day, then the third day the first verse comes back to you more easily because you're going over the first verse over again. And by the time you get to the fourth or fifth or sixth day and you've done that repeatedly, then you get that first verse down, you know, pretty well. The last verse, you know, as Bev and I can attest to, doesn't quite go so well by the time you get to that one. And it doesn't help to have some annoying person there hitting the buzzer every time you screw up either. But
that does throw a person off.
Well, we're throwing us into the fire, trying to make us learn in the crucible. Where was I? I don't remember. Proverbs 23:12. Apply thine heart unto instruction and thine ears to the words of knowledge. So yeah, that's why it's important to review. And I know, of course, the preacher wants to tell you, come home, and then the next day get the outline out and review everything. And I know everybody's got, you got life and you got work and you got all that. But, you know, if you can review, it certainly will help to cement that in the mind. And what I always like to do, and I told you this before, back when I was listening instead of preaching, I would take the outline, and then when the pastor would make a point, I would, if I wanted to cross-reference two verses, I would circle them and draw a line between them or something. And then later on through the week, as I was reading my Bible, I would take the outline out and I would find all those places. And then I would go and I'd make the note in the Bible cross-referencing them. And that helps to get it in your mind. But it also helps to be able to use it in the future as you're reading your Bible, and then you've got these cross references, and then you can find other verses that explain that verse, and which you'd have probably forgotten about because, you know, we can't remember everything. So that was always helpful for me. That's why I got all these verses in here. And that's why now I can put together a sermon in a couple hours, depending on what the topic is, because I got all these notes. And, you know, I can just, if I can remember where a few verses are, and before you know it, I go there, and I got verses linking back to here, and before you know it, I'm all over the Bible, and what do you know? The outline's done. So, but, you know, that took 15 years of work to be able to get to that point. You know, it's not going to happen overnight, that's for sure. And it depends on the topic. I'm not saying it only takes 2 hours to put together every sermon, but, you know, some of them you could do that.
But it's not only 2 hours you have in it.
Right.
It's all that previous stuff.
Yes. Yep. So the instruction that we should listen to is wise instruction, of course. And that wise instruction comes from the Word of God. You know that that's guaranteed wise instruction. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16. Because the Word of God was given to us for instruction. Of course, there's other wisdom you can learn out there. There's other learning. There's lots of truth out there in the world. But the only guaranteed truth that you can read and know for absolute certain without any doubt that this is true is the Scripture, King James Bible. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So there's where your instruction comes from that you want to hearken to. And then on the other side of that, you don't want to hearken to instruction that is leading us into error. And there's a lot of that out there. Let me give you a few verses. Proverbs 19:27. This is why I think that in the age of the internet and YouTube, when, you know, I mean, I can put sermons out there and get hundreds, thousands, or, you know, tons and tons of views, and all these people hearing it, apparently, but there's also thousands of other people out there putting all kinds of other contrary garbage out on the internet. And so that's why, you know, if people were only finding true preaching on the internet, then our churches would have a lot more people in them, I'm sure. But because it's so watered down with all this other garbage out there, that's why people get led astray and they get into all kinds of heresies. They're not doing what these verses say. Proverbs 19 and verse 27 says, "Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge." This is especially important for young people or young people in the faith. Because notice he says, "Cease, my son." Right? So when somebody is in a position where they're young in their learning, whether it's young in age or young in conversion, either way, it's really important for somebody like that to not listen to instruction that would cause you to err. That's why I don't recommend people that are new in the faith to be reading all kinds of books and watching all kinds of videos and preachers with all this heretical stuff. And I'm sure that there are nuggets of truth that could be gleaned in there from a person that has their senses exercised to discern between good and evil. But for somebody that doesn't, it's a good idea just to stay away from that stuff because you can get sucked into it and carried away. Proverbs 14 and verse 7. Because, you know, false teachers are slick talkers. They use craft and guile and they... how does it say there in like the word's not coming to me, in Ephesians chapter 4, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, by the sleight of men, right? They're like magicians. They're tricking you. It sounds really good, but there's an error somewhere in the logic. But the person that doesn't have good discernment, he can't see it. It all looks really good. That's why you ever listen to a debate on a topic that you're maybe not familiar with, and you listen to the first guy, and you're like, oh, yeah, he's right. And then you listen to the guy give a rebuttal, you're like, oh, no, he's right. And then he gives another rebuttal, oh, no, he's right. You know, if you don't know enough about it, anything sounds right, right, until you have your senses, you know, capable of discerning between truth and error. Proverbs 14 and verse 7. Go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. Now this could be a false teacher teaching false doctrine. Go from his presence. Or it could just be you're arguing with an idiot. And when he has shown himself to be an idiot and doesn't have the lips of knowledge and isn't hearing what you're saying and doesn't want to hear, go from his presence. Don't waste your time. You know, when a wise man contendeth with a foolish man, whether he rage or laugh, there is no rest. You can scream at the guy. You can make jokes with the guy. It doesn't matter. It's not going to change his mind. Just leave. And then this is also important for women. In 2 John 1 and verse 10, because this epistle of 2 John was written to an elect lady, and I believe this is actually a woman, not referring to a church or something. And he writes to this lady, and he says in verse 10, If there come any unto you, and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. Because we read in another place, which I think is 1 Timothy chapter 3. No, maybe it's 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 in verse 6. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So it's important because, you know, Eve was deceived and not Adam, right? Women are more easily deceived than men, generally speaking. I believe that's why he probably told this woman, if somebody comes to your house and doesn't bring this doctrine, don't let him in. I don't think a woman, unless she's very, very sound in the scripture, I don't think a woman should let a Jehovah's Witness into her house when her husband's not home, or a Mormon, or anybody like that. You know, unless you're really well-versed. I mean, if you're capable, that would be one thing maybe. But I just say, you know what, come back when my husband's here, because you don't want to let somebody like that into your house and lead you away unawares.
And she's probably got anything more important than talking to them that she could
absolutely
be about anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And then wisdom goes on to say, she said, hear instruction and be wise. Wise is having or exercising sound judgment or discernment, capable of judging truly concerning what is right or fitting, and disposed to act accordingly, having the ability to perceive and adopt the best means for accomplishing an end, characterized by good sense and prudence, opposed to foolish. So hear instruction and be wise. This, she's telling us how to be wise. It's by hearing instruction. And it is a mark of wisdom to hear and receive instruction. Proverbs 13 and verse 1. Isn't that why you send your kids to school or homeschool them or whatever? You give them instruction so that they can be wise, right? That's the whole idea. If you're not hearing instruction, you're probably not going to be wise, because you're not born that way, right? You're not born with wisdom, right? We're born dumb, and we have to improve our lot, and that's through instruction. Proverbs 13 and verse 1. A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. On the other hand, it's a mark of foolishness to refuse to hear and receive instruction. Proverbs 1 and verse 7. Proverbs 1 and verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. They don't want anybody telling them anything. They don't need to learn anything. They already know it all. Isn't that what we call them? A know-it-all? Mm-hmm. Right? If somebody's a know-it-all, they're not going to receive instruction because they know it all. They don't need instruction. Proverbs 15 and verse 5. A fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. And then one more in Jeremiah 17 and verse 23. Jeremiah 17:23, but they obeyed not, neither inclined their ear, but made their nests stiff, that they might not hear nor receive instruction. They made their nest stiff. I don't know why I keep saying that. It's funny, I remember I was watching a Bible study that Pastor Mott did, and he was trying to demonstrate a stiff neck, and he's like, and he kept doing that, and then he started coughing, like he made himself cough. He couldn't stop coughing. It was kind of funny, but I felt bad for him. But anyway, yeah, that's what the stiff neck is, kind of like, you know, rear back, and you don't want to hear. It's necessary to hear instruction in order to be wise and to increase in wisdom. So it's necessary to hear it to be wise in the first place, but then to get wiser, then you want to hear more instruction. Because, you know, one bit of instruction will then compound upon the next, right? The more you know, the more you can know, the more you have the ability to know. Proverbs 19 and verse 20. Proverbs 19 and verse 20. Hear counsel and receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. So you got to hear the instruction to be wise, and then once you get wise, then if you keep listening to instruction, you get wiser. Proverbs 9 and verse 9. That's why you keep going back to church. You know, God didn't set up church so you go one time and, you know, learn whatever you need to know and then you don't come back, right? You keep coming back because you got to keep learning. For one thing, you'll forget what you already knew. That's why the wise scribe brings out things new and old, Jesus said. See, and Peter said, I will put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, right? So you hear things that you've already known, and it reinforces it, but then you learn new things. And then maybe something that you heard in a sermon this year, you wouldn't have gotten it, but when you hear it next year, or in 2 years, or 3 years from now, when you've learned more and you've grown, then all of a sudden, you might hear the same thing, but now it gives you additional wisdom, additional instruction. So that's why it's important to keep on learning. Proverbs 9 and verse 9, give instruction to a wise man. You see, he's already wise. He's already heard instruction because that's what you have to do to be wise. Give instruction to a wise man and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. So we never want to stop learning. Education should be a lifelong endeavor. And then wisdom says finally, and refuse it not. Refuse is to disclaim, disown, decline to countenance an act. It's to avoid, keep clear of, or free from sin, vice, etc. It's to decline to take or accept something offered or presented, to reject the offering of a thing, to decline to accept or submit to a command, rule, instruction, etc., or to undergo pain or penalty. So when you refuse something, you decline to take it. You won't accept whatever's being offered. And she's saying, refuse it not. Don't refuse the instruction. And essentially what she's telling us is to hear the instruction, but then do it. Because you could hear it, and you could receive it into your mind, but then refuse it once you've heard it. Because you don't want to do it. And what she's telling us is, do it once you've heard it. This is what James told us in James 1:22. I told you I didn't learn anything in grade school. James 1 and verse 22. It says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. I was thinking about this the other day. This applies to preachers too. It applies to me. Because I was thinking, as a preacher, if you're not careful, you can put together a sermon, you can define all the terms, you can link all the verses together, compare scripture with scripture, and you can put together a very logical presentation and you can prove something absolutely from the scripture. But if it's just an intellectual exercise, and I don't do it, then what good is it? Now maybe some of you would do it and that'd be good, but what good is it for me? Right? And so I think preachers have to watch out for that. I know I do. That you don't want it just to be an intellectual exercise. You want to actually do it. You know, take heed to your own words. Right? That's what Paul told Timothy. And by doing so, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Right? Take heed unto the doctrine. Now he who refuses instruction errs. Proverbs 10 and verse 17. Proverbs 10 and verse 17. It says, he is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth. To err means to rumble, roam, stray, or wander. He's just out there walking off in left field somewhere. He's off the path, out there in the weeds, falling into the ditch. That's what happens when you refuse instruction. Probably seen lots of teenagers, maybe even literally, off in the ditch because they didn't take heed to instruction, right? They didn't listen, and they're erring over this way or that way. He who refuses instruction hates himself, Proverbs 15 and verse 32. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. And you wonder, with some people's decisions, do they hate themselves? Right? I mean, just people that are into drugs and alcohol or gambling, or I mean, those are just some examples. Do they hate themselves? You know, can they not see that this is self-destructive and they're not listening to people that are trying to talk some sense into them? They just hate themselves.
They do hate themselves.
Yeah.
Truly.
Yeah. And some of them may not realize they hate themselves. Some of them probably do hate themselves and even know it, and their lives are so miserable, they just keep drinking or keep taking drugs or whatever. But yeah, it's self-destructive behavior.
They give up hope.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Some of them.
And then such a man that refuses instruction has poverty awaiting him. And basically what I'm doing here is just showing you every place in Proverbs where it talks about refusing instruction and just learning whatever we can about it. Proverbs 13, 18, poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction, but to him that regardeth reproof shall be honored. Now, how many kids get out of school, go out and get their first job or whatever, and their parents or somebody told them, you better manage money, right? You better not, don't get a credit card, don't run up your debt, and they refuse instruction, and they have poverty and shame waiting for them. So that's why it's important to hear instruction in order to be wise, and in order to be wise, we have to refuse it not, but accept it and then put it into practice in our lives. And then that finishes up, what verse was that? Proverbs 8:33, and next time we'll get to 34. I don't know if we'll finish the chapter next time or the time after that. So thank you for your kind and patient attention tonight.
Just a quick note at the end of the sermon. The most important thing a believer in Jesus Christ can do is to be a member of one of God's true churches. If you're not already a member of one, go to pastorwagner.com/churches to see if there is a true church or other believers of like faith near you. That's pastorwagner.com/churches.